I invite your attention to the book of Jonah, chapter 4, as we complete today our study of this book of Jonah. I want to call your attention or ask you, I'm amazed how God knows what we need before we get there. When I started this study, I had not a clue of where I would be today. How appropriate this message is for today. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you're watching at home, put down your coffee cup, pick up your Bible. Perk up, set up straight, unrecline that chair. Get off the couch or, you know, sit. Pay attention to what God gives this morning. I want to encourage you who are here in the service. Ladies, you have my permission. If your husband dozes off, wham him in the ribs. No, husbands, you can't do that to your wives because we both know they don't doze off like you do. But in all seriousness, please. I feel that perhaps this message is probably the most important message I've delivered in a long time. Take it to heart. In the previous chapters, we saw where Jonah was called by God to go and preach to a city called Nineveh. We found where Jonah had refused. Instead of going to Nineveh, he goes in the opposite direction. He boards a ship bound for Tarshish. So, of course, God sent that great storm that tossed that ship about. And to make a long story short, Jonah was thrown over the side of that ship and he was swallowed by a great fish prepared by God Himself. After 3 days, Jonah finally called out to God. Once Jonah called out to God, that fish spit him up on the ground and he went in a straight line to the city of Nineveh to preach God's message to those people. As a result of his preaching, the city of Nineveh repented of their sin and turned toward God. As a result of that repentance, God repented of the destruction that he had planned for the city. And now in chapter 4, we pick up this study as Jonah reveals his heart about the whole matter. Would you stand with me? Today, we beat bitterness. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.' Then the Lord said, 'Is it right for you to be angry?' So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might make a shade for his head to deliver him from the misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the shade, for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. The sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.' Then God said to Jonah, 'Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?' And he said, 'It is right for me to be angry, even to death.' But the Lord said, 'You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night? And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, again we approach your throne of grace, asking, Lord, for understanding. Guide us as we look at your word. Speak to us through your word. Give us hearts to act upon your word. To you be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It does not take us long at all to figure out in chapter 4 that Jonah was indeed a very bitter man. Jonah's only desire was that God would destroy the people of Nineveh. That was his heart. He wanted to go preach to Nineveh, then stand on the sidelines as God rained down fire upon the heads of those people. He wanted them to suffer. He wanted them to die. You say, what kind of man of God thinks this way? Jonah did. The reason he did is because he was filled with a hatred and a bitterness toward the people of Nineveh. We don't know why. So why was he so bitter? It's not there. We're not told. I don't know. Perhaps somewhere in the past he had witnessed the violence of the people of Nineveh had inflicted upon Israel, and it just scarred him. Perhaps he had experienced personally abuse from the people of Nineveh, or he had lost things. Personal property had been taken by the attacks of the people of Nineveh. Perhaps it was just a prejudice that was passed down from his grandfather to his father and his father to him. You know, we do that sort of thing, don't we? I don't know what it was that set this deep-seated bitterness in the heart of Jonah. But as I read, I thought, wow, how sad for the man of God, who's supposed to be a messenger of God. And chapter 4 reveals his heart. But it not only, you know, as I looked at Jonah, I didn't only think, wow, that's so sad. It brought me to where we are today in the United States of America. We are a bitter people. I want to say it one more time, because most of the time we don't really like to admit it. We are a bitter people. We have seen so much this past year. We saw COVID, a disease that when it began, they didn't know how to treat it. They didn't know what it was going to do. We heard wear mask. Then we heard don't wear mask. Now we're back to wear mask. We heard that one drug works, and one expert says this works. Another expert says, no, that doesn't work. And another, you know, they recommend, and they were just all over the place. We've heard that millions upon millions will die. And now we've realized that less than 1% actually succumb to death because of the disease. But what has happened through this process is there has been a distrust developed toward medical and political leaders. I mean, used to, when a doctor said something, we backed up and we said, oh, okay, we need to listen. Now we've seen so much on television, we think, oh, you don't know what he's talking about. We see the political advisors who have tried to lead through this. We even look at them with bitterness. You know, in the last year, not only have we seen a dreaded disease, we've seen a government that cannot accomplish anything. If you're a Democrat, it's the fault of the Republicans. And if you're a Republican, it's the fault of the Democrats. My personal opinion is that we've become so entrenched in political party that we've lost sight of the people whom they are there to serve. And as a result of such leadership, the people of this country have become bitter and distrustful of our government. We've seen demonstrations and riots this past year. We saw as Black Lives Matter and Antifa and others have taken over sections of cities and burned and looted, and there was a bitterness that had developed. And so we would look upon people, and instead of looking at them with heart and a message of hope, red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in His sight. We've looked at them in bitterness. Then this past week, a group that would have called themselves patriots stormed our nation's capital. That's not patriotism. Nor is that being a conservative. What's going on is a bitterness is developing in our nation that is consuming our people. Where everyone looks at everyone else, and if you do not agree with my political party, if you do not agree with what I think or my religion, then you're wrong and I don't like you anymore. Now listen, I'm not suggesting that we as God's children wrap our arms around sin and immorality and ungodliness and put our stamp of approval upon it. I'm not. But I will tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, we cannot afford to lose the love for people. We cannot. You see, this bitterness that I'm talking about is contagious and it's spreading like a cancer at the very fabric of our faith and nation. It's spread every day, every second on Facebook and Twitter. My personal opinion at this point is if you cannot put a message of love on Facebook, put nothing on there. It does no good to stir the pot of bitterness. It spread through the news. And we are warned of God Himself in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. We cannot afford it in our churches. And it's so easy to get there. So, Brother Doug, what do we do about it? Well, we look at Jonah. Jonah pouted. I mean, that's kind of the way we do, isn't it? We don't get our way, we pout. Jonah said to God, God, I knew this is who You are. I knew You were a God of grace and a God of mercy. I knew You were a God of love and a God of forgiveness. I knew that You were slow to anger and would relent of doing harm. And he said the amazing thing. Jonah says that like it's a bad thing. I know You're a forgiving, loving God. And then Jonah prayed, God, just kill me. God, just kill me. It's better for me to die than to live. And God asked Jonah a very important question. Is it right, Jonah, for you to be angry? A question that I had to ask myself this week, and I ask you today. Is it right for you to be angry and bitter? The answer, of course, is no. Jonah's answer is, yes, it's right for me to be angry. It's right for me to even want to die. But can you see the misery in this man's heart? When you will argue with God and then tell God knowingly, God, I don't like your love. I don't like your forgiving spirit. I don't like you. I don't like any of that. Just kill me now. He's filled with misery. And that's what I want you to understand. And today is bitterness will make you miserable. And that's what's happened in our country today. People are miserable. I know Christians today who, you know, I've heard make the same, well, I don't understand why God allows this unrighteous generation to continue. Or, you know, I've heard those that say, well, I'm just ready for God to strike them all dead. Okay, Jonah. You say, well, Brother Doug, that's in the Old Testament. That's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, it did happen to Sodom and Gomorrah, but I might point out it was not under the direction of Abraham or Lot or anyone else. It was God's decision when and where judgment was poured out. You say, well, Brother Doug, in the Old Testament, they used to pray, God, destroy our enemies. Yes, they did, and that was the dispensation or the age of the law. Transgression of the law meant death. Today, we're in the church age, the age of grace, in which there is love and forgiveness. If you want to know why God has not yet judged our country, and I think we're very close, I really do. But the reason He has not is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's giving every last man, every last opportunity. Come. Come to Me. And receive the forgiveness and the love that God offers. You say, but preacher, the morals of our country are terrible. Yes. Preacher, the socialists are taking over. I understand. Preacher, there's a radical administration about to take office in our government. I get it. But here's what I know. For it, against it, like it, dislike it, here's the Bible. Romans 13, 1. I want you to read this with me and pay close attention. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Our soon-to-be President Biden is headed for the presidency because God has appointed him there. I don't have to like it. I don't have to agree with it. It's not my position. That's God's place. Therefore, I will support our current president as well as the one to come. You say, Brother Doug, but you know, we may lose everything. I don't know. In our text, God made a plant to come up over Jonah. This plant provided Jonah with shade. Came up overnight, shaded him for a day. The next day, God prepared a worm and killed the plant. And old Jonah became angry again. God, you killed my plans. And God says, Jonah, can't you see? Can't you see? You're getting upset about a plant that I made. But you have no concern for people. I found it really sobering as I considered. Oftentimes I'm concerned about the wrong things. I'm concerned about higher taxes. I'm concerned that they may change my way of life. I'm concerned about what I might lose when in reality my concern should be for people. My concern should be that people are going to hell without the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all that seems to be okay as long as I can keep my personal comforts. Well, my friend, it's not okay. It's not okay to care more about stuff than people. And you know what? I've figured something else out. I have something that cannot be taken. Eternal life. I'm in the hand of God, the Creator of this universe, and Jesus said, no one can pluck them from my Father's hand. This life is not my hope. This life is not all there is. Life doesn't get good until we enter the presence of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, that cannot be taken from us. We are pilgrims passing through this life, and let us never lose sight that this world is not our home. Our home is bought and paid for by Jesus Himself. By His precious blood, He has cleansed me of my sin. And because of that sacrifice, I have a very bright future. We have to understand that God knows what He's doing. He really does. He's allowing this world to go down the path in preparation for the end. You say, Brother Doug, I just don't know where we're going to wind up. I do. It's going to be all right. Okay? It's going to be all right. All those things that we fear, you know, the socialist, the one world government, and all that, I've got news for you. It has to happen. Yes, it's going to happen. I've heard people ask, Brother Doug, I really don't understand why Revelation, the book of Revelation, is so important for us to understand, because we're not going to be here if we're raptured out at the beginning of the tribulation period, and I believe that we will be raptured out before the tribulation period begins. But what it does give us is it gives us what the world's going to look like. And so we know because of what the world's going to look like that there are certain directions that this world's going to have to go. So don't be surprised by this one world government socialist concept. Don't be surprised about this leaders, you know, trying to take control of the entire world. Don't be surprised when if we get down the road and they try to make you receive an immunization and have shot records and all that, you know, everything that's all up in the air. Don't be surprised. We're just getting ready. You know what we're getting ready for? If you're a believer, we're getting ready to go. One of these days. And I do not think it's long. Jesus will step out. We will hear the trumpet that will summon us to meet Jesus in the air. Don't be upset. Don't be afraid. Listen, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Okay? It's going to be all right. going to be all right. We have a blessed hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I'm looking for. Nobody can take that. Let's keep our eyes on the right stuff. Okay? You see, finally, the last thing we got to realize is that God loves people. He really does. And verse 11 that we read, call your attention to that again. He asked Jonah the question, and should I not pity Nineveh? Should I not pity that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? You know what he said? God, you know, Jonah saw the bitterness and the past and whatever had hurt him in the past. And God saw 120,000 people, 120,000 souls that were bound for hell. 120,000, he said, they don't know their right hand from their left. He was talking about their spiritual discernment. They didn't know how to make a right decision. They were immoral people, ungodly people. They were spiritually destitute. And God knew everything that they had ever done and every vile deed and every false god. Yet instead of hatred and bitterness, God preached repentance through Jonah and forgave them of their sin. Not only does God love people, I'm called to love people. We are called to love people. Scripture of the day. You ready? Take this with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. Look at this. We're gonna hold it. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, I can have the best spiritual gift that I could have. I can speak in languages of the angels and the heavens, but have not love, I'm become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I'm a racket, is what he's saying. Without love. And though, verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love. Oh, I can be a preacher. Man, I can hold the attention of people, and I could put on a show, and I could speak very well so that people would receive. But if I don't have love, I am nothing. And if I give my body, I'm sorry, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, because I can give to every poor cause, the American Cancer Society, the Choices Pregnancy Center, the Main Street Mission, every youth ball league, I can give and I can give and I can give. I can tithe to the church and give special offerings to the church. But if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. You see, without love, we are nothing. Period. The title of this message is Beating Bitterness. And that's something we've got to come over as a church, something we've got to come over as a nation. It starts with you and I. Better yet, let me say it starts with me. You see, the only way to beat bitterness is to choose love. You want to love, you want to change people, you want to change our country. No one was ever changed by bitterness. Not one person. There's a lot of people who have been changed by love. Do you want to make our church stronger in the faith? Love people. Do you want to have a lasting impact in the lives of others, learn how to love people. See, the sad part to this story is, as we get down to the end of this study, Jonah never got over his bitterness. There's no indication that it never dawned on Jonah, I don't have to live this way. I'm not going to live this way. I believe where we are right now, the church is at a crossroads. I'm talking about the church across America. We're at a crossroads, and we're going to have to decide where we're going to go from here. But I can tell you this. The bitter church will dry up and die. It will. That's what happens. But I also believe we're standing on the edge of perhaps the greatest revival opportunity that the church has ever seen. Jesus has not come back yet. We are here for a reason. And that reason is to win the lost. We're going to win the lost by loving people. The bitter church will die. The loving church will thrive until the Lord returns. I make my choice this morning right here. You are my witness. I choose to love. I choose to love. As I said, I'm not saying that we wrap our arms around immorality and ungodliness. No. I am saying that we look beyond the immorality and the ungodliness to the people who need to hear the gospel. I leave you with the last example. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was crucified for you and for me. And at any point in that process, He told His disciples, "Do you not understand that I can call 12 legions of angels and put a stop to this?" They could have wiped out that Jerusalem crowd in a second. But Jesus chose to suffer and to die for my sins. And He did it because He loved me. How do you know? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It was love that held Jesus on that cross. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. That's the love that Jesus had for me. That's the love that I'm expected to have for Jesus as I deal with others. Today, let's choose. Let's choose love. I do not think the future's dim. As a matter of fact, I think quite the opposite. I think the future's bright. Jesus is coming soon to get us. That's good. Right now, He's left us here to witness and to make disciples. That's good. Now let's just do it. Are you a child of God? I want to share the love of Jesus Christ with you today. He gave His life. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary because, very simply, you are a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody that's here today. And Jesus' invitation is open to you. That invitation says, "Come unto me. You who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. You may have been trying to earn your way to heaven when you figured it out. For every good thing I do two wrong things. Just not working. You may think going to church is going to get you to heaven, and then you begin to realize the imperfections or the imperfect people that churches are filled with, and you realize, you know, they're not going to heaven because they're in church. Today I want to tell you why I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I've called upon Jesus Christ and He's forgiven me of my sins. And if you go to heaven, you will go the same way. Will you call on Jesus? This invitation's for you. Heavenly Father, help us to love. Sometimes, Lord, we do get excited and it's easy to get upset and to forget to love. So today we pray for your forgiveness. Let today be the dawn of a new age in your church. An age of love, faithfulness to you in making disciples. Now we pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.